And we're learning together Gemara Brachot on Daf Samach Bet Amud Bet 62b, the bottom of the page. Just learning at the moment about prohibitions on the Temple Mount. You're not allowed to do various things. Some of those things are: you're not allowed to wear shoes, you're not allowed to spit, and you are not allowed to use it as a shortcut. Now, the law of spitting, that you're not allowed to spit, we learn out from the law of shoes. What do we learn out? We learn out the fact that just like on the Temple Mount, you're not allowed to wear shoes, but you are allowed to wear shoes in a shul. So too with spitting. You're not allowed to spit on the Temple Mount, but you are allowed to spit in a shul. But the Gemara says, but wait a minute, why are you learning out from shoes? Why not learn out from the shortcut? What would you learn out then? You'd learn out different. Just like you're not allowed to use a shortcut on the Temple Mount, so too you're not allowed to use a shortcut in shul through a Beit Knesset. Why not learn out the same from spitting and say spitting is the same? Just like you're not allowed to spit on the Temple Mount, so too you're not allowed to spit in shul. So why do you choose shoes as opposed to shortcut to learn out the law of spitting? So that's the question that the Gemara left us with. And over the page on Samach Gimel, Amud Aleph, 63a, few lines down, Ela Amar Rabba. Rabba has an explanation to that question. That's where we got to. Ela Amar Rabba. So Rabba says the reason why we learn out the law of spitting from the wearing shoes and not from the shortcut is because Ki Beito, because it's like his home. What does it mean, it's like his home? Ma Beito, just like in one's home, a Kapandria Kapid Inish, a shortcut, Kapandria Kapid Inish, a person's very particular, he doesn't want people taking a shortcut through his home. Arkika Umana'al Lo Kapid Inish, but he does not mind so much spitting or wearing shoes in his home. Right, we're talking about the old days when floors were made of earth. So he's not so bothered about someone spitting on the floor because they're going to wipe it in, and there's lots of other stuff going on the floor too. Right, so he's not so bothered about that. But he is bothered about someone using his house as a shortcut. And therefore, af Beit Knesset, so too Beit Knesset, Kapandria Hudasol, using as a shortcut is forbidden, Rakika Mena'al Share, but spitting and shoes are permitted. So we liken, if we're not sure which to learn from, do we learn from the laws of the Temple Mount, or do we learn from the shoe or the shortcut? So we say it's like the Beit Knesset is like a person's home. So just like in your home you wear shoes, so you can wear shoes too. Just like in your home, you're not so bothered if people spit as long as they clear it up. So that's the same. But you don't want someone to use your house as a shortcut. So that's why we have a difference in the laws between those. Okay.
I mean, just as long as you can have your kids see their floor.
Right. Yes.
I mean, then you start complaining.
Oh, you try. You try. See how far it gets you. But then you end up doing it yourself. There's an inbuilt gene, if we're using non-spiritual terms. Tom, it's from Hashem, really. Kol chotmei brachot bakesh. In the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet 54. What did we say? Look. In 64a3, the Mishnah told us as follows: Kol chotmei brachot, anyone who concludes a bracha, Sheba Mikdash, in the Beit Mikdash. Hayu Omrim Ad Ho'olam. They would say at the end of the bracha, the words Ad Ha'olam, until the world. Like for example, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam.
We don't do that now, do we?
No, that's only in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, they used to say that. So, for example, he gets here in the bracha that we say in Shmona Esrei, Chonen Hadat. So we say now, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonen Hadat. We just say Chonen Hadat. So in the temple, if you were saying the Shmona Esrei, davening the Shmona Esrei, you'd say different. You'd say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kei Yisrael, Min Ha'olam, V'ad Ha'olam, Baruch Chonen Hadat. Different words. Why?
So is that going to be reenacted?
Let's see. This was the first temple they said that. Let's have a look. The third version of says in the first temple, either wording, or until the word, however, was assumed to be very good. There's some argument here in the footnote as to whether or not which bit they said in the first temple or which bit they said in the second temple.
Which page is this again?
54A3.
54.
So what happened? So initially they would say this bracha Ad Ha'olam, and then Misha Kilkulu Hatzadokim. I'm just reading again in the Mishnah. When the Sadducees corrupted, right?
Meaning, how did they corrupt it?
Well, they succeeded in corrupting a lot of people, corrupting the faith by saying that there was no world to come.
Remember that in Tanis, the big argument about that.
Right. So, the Sadducees were basically this-worlders. So after that, they changed the conclusion and said, V'amru ein olam, Mishikuru ha-sadokim, when the Sadducees corrupted and said, the Sadducees said, ein olam ela achat, they said there's only one world. Hitzkinu, they decreed Sheyu Omrim that they would stay instead in the temple. Min Ha'olam Ve'ad Ha'olam. So initially they just said Ad Ha'olam, which means until the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what the meaning of until the world is. But when the Sadducees came along and started wrecking things up, they changed it to Min Ha'olam Ve'ad Ha'olam, from the world and to the world, in order to kind of emphasize that there's two worlds. So that they put that in. Okay. So that's the Mishnah that we're now looking at. So back in the Gemara now says about that. Kol kach lama means so much. Why? Why so much? Why do we bother? Like, Min Ha'olam, V'ad Ha'olam. Why do you want to make so much effort to change the ending of the brachas in the Beit HaMikdash? So the Gemara answers that. Lefi she'ein onim amen b'migdash. Because we don't say the word amen in the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to see now why it is that we don't say amen in the Beit HaMikdash.
There are two footnotes.
Yeah, the Gemara itself is going to ask the question. The footnotes don't really help everybody at the moment. So the Gemara asks the question and says, "Minayin she'ein onim amen b'mikdash? Where do I know that we don't say amen in the Beit HaMikdash?" So we learn it out from a pasuk in Nehemiah. Hey, Rabbi Abraham, good to see you again.
Boker Tov.
How's the leg?
Good.
Boker Hashem.
How was your Purim?
Nice. Good.
Okay. So we'll catch up with Abraham quickly. Up to where we are.
$1 million. No kids come up to you.
Tov. Okay, so let me just recap the bits that you missed. Should I recap?
Recap.
The recap. Just what we've done this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Recap. Recap. Yeah. Recap. So we asked the question at the end of last time. We were learning out the laws of what happens on the Temple Mount. We said you don't wear shoes on the Temple Mount, and you don't make a shortcut. But in a shul, there were two different. Even though both of those were forbidden on the Temple Mount, we said that in a shul you're allowed to wear shoes, but you're not allowed to make a shortcut. So even though both things are forbidden on the Temple Mount, one of them is permitted in shul and one's not. Then we came to spitting. We said, what about spitting? Spitting we know also you're not allowed to do on the Temple Mount. The Mishnah says.
For what?
Spitting. You're not allowed to do that on the Temple Mount. Mm-hmm. So how do we learn, what do we do, whether or not you're allowed it in shul? So what are we going to learn from? Are we going to learn from shoes, which are not allowed on the Temple Mount but are allowed in shul? And therefore we'll learn out that spitting is allowed. Or we're going to learn out from a shortcut where we see you're not allowed to do a shortcut on the Temple Mount and you're not allowed to do a shortcut. So maybe you're not allowed to spit either if you learn out from a shortcut. So which one do we learn out from? So the Gemara told us that we learn out from shoes. That you are allowed to spit in a shoe, even though you're not allowed to do it. Same as a shoe. And you don't learn out from the shortcut. So the Gemara wants to know why. So that's where we started today, why. So Rava on the page, Samach Gimel, Hamad Aleph, near the top, a couple of lines from the top, three lines from the top. El Amar Rava. El Amar Rava, Rava said, Ki Beitah, because it's like his house. Ma Beitah, just like in a person's house, Akapandria Kapid. He is particular about a shortcut. He doesn't allow people to use your home as a shortcut. You don't want the neighbors walking in to get to the back alleyway through walking through your house. So you do mind about that. Inish. Arakika umina lokapid inish. But spitting and shoes, a man is not so Mac could have helped. Right? So just like a person's home. Av Beit Knesset. So too the Beit Knesset. Kapandria Udasor. It's forbidden to use it as a shortcut. Rakika Minale Shere. But it's permitted to wear shoes and to spit. Right? To spit, if in talking about the times when the floors were dust and you could wipe it in and it wasn't a problem. If you have a nice polished tile floor, you're not allowed to walk over to the rabbi and spit on the floor and say, I learned that in the Gemara. You can't do nothing to me. No.
Is that before or after he pulls your ear and saying you're a naughty boy?
It depends if it's Purim or not. If it's Purim, you might get away with it. Okay, so that was that. Now we're nearly up to speed. Kol chot mei brachot sheva mikdash. Now up to the next bit of the Gemara. Next bit of the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah said that there was a difference of how you conclude the bracha in the Beit HaMikdash. They didn't conclude the bracha like we conclude the bracha. So the on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph on 54a, the Mishnah told us that you conclude the bracha in the Beit HaMikdash by saying Ad HaOlam. Kol Amet Brachot Sheva Mikdash Hayu on Wim. They would say Ad HaOlam. That was originally. Initially, they said that. Then what happened? Mishakil Kalu Had Sadokim. When the Sadokim came and corrupted Va'amu, and those Sadokim said, Ein Olam El Achad, there's only one world. So they changed it. What did they say instead? It Kinu Sheyu. They decreed that it should be Shayyomin, that they would say, Min Ha'olam Liyad Olam. From the world to the world. In order to emphasize that there's two worlds. Right? Sadokim want to say there's only one world. I assume they mean this world. And we had to emphasize there's two worlds. Okay, so that's the Mishnah that we're now analyzing in our Gemara. Now, our Gemara says, back on Sanat Gimel Amud Aleph, says, Kol kach lama, why bother? Why do you need? It's not so clear what the Kol kach lama means, but one explanation is, what does it say on the footnote here? Kol kach lama means, why extend? Right, why do we extend to min ha'olam yad ha'olam? Why do we bother extending it? But the answer doesn't really help. Certainly doesn't help me, because I don't think that's probably. You'll see the answer doesn't really answer the question. That's the question, and the answer that is now lefisha ain onim amen b'mikdash, because they don't say the word amen in the Beit HaMikdash. So that doesn't really answer the question, if that was the question. At least I don't. It doesn't make sense to me. Even though that's what it says in the footnote, that's what Kol Kach Lama means. So it could be my alternative explanation, which I haven't seen anywhere, but I just think it sounds good. Is that Kol Kach Lama could mean why change it at all? Why have Min HaOlam? Forget Min HaOlam. Why have Ad HaOlam? Why the change at all? Why do you need to change the ending of the bracha in the Beit HaMikdash? Will stop. Then you've got an answer, which makes sense. Answer: because lefi she'ein on imamein b'mikdash, because they don't say the word amen in the mikdash. So I don't know how that exactly is linked. What the link is not clear either. The fact that they don't say amen means that you have to say ad ha'olam or change to min ha'olam mead olam. So it's not clear to me what the link is between those two either. The Gemara now asks a question, which may help a little bit, but perhaps not much, which is, how do we know that they don't say Amen in the Beit HaMikdash? So they learn that out from a verse in Nehemiah, Shne'emah, like it says in Nehemiah, Kumu Baruchu Et Hashem, rise up, get up, and bless Hashem, Elokeichem, your God, Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam. So bless him in that fashion with the words Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam. So that's where they learnt out, at least after the Sadducees, they learnt out Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam. So
bracha itself.
What, meaning what?
Baruch Hu et Hashem bin Olam Yad Olam, and then you would answer, Baruch Hu, maybe, but Shem Kibodecha. No, no. No one in there.
Well, the Nachon.
Oh, Shem Omi.
Yes, that's. Although it's still not totally clear that you don't say Amen. It just says this pasuk says this is a good way of blessing Hashem. Right? The pasuk says bless Hashem like this,
like
it says here. So this is a way to bless Hashem. Okay, very nice. But then how do I learn that out that you don't say Amen in the Beit HaMikdash, and instead that you learn out that you say this instead of? It's not so the Va'omer. What's the next bit? Va'omer and the. The verse continues in Nehemiah says, "Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha, bless the holy name. Umramam al kol bracha utihila, and exalt him on every blessing and praise, above every blessing and praise." So here it could be. What's it mean here? It's not clear how you learn out that this means that in the Beit HaMikdash, maybe this is talking about in the. The verse, the footnote here tells me that the verse is addressing those who are saying blessings in the temple. Right, okay, so that helps. So the fact that if you look in Nehemiah, the verse is talking about people who are giving brachot in the Beit HaMikdash, they should say this. So because they say this, I'm still not clear that why we drop Amen. Rashi doesn't give me anything that helps here.
Anyone else?
Let's read the Rashi anyway, because it's a nice Rashi. But it doesn't, as far as I can tell, it doesn't help to answer the questions, but obviously it does, because if you understood Rashi, if I understood Rashi, then it would answer all the questions. Rashi, the third line down in the Rashi, he says, "Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha." They will bless your holy name. Right. So then he starts off with that acronym, which stands for "Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto La'olam Ve'ed." Did you get that? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto La'olam Ve'ed. Very nice. Rashi, he just puts Bet Shin Kaf Mem Lamed Vav with a chipchuk, and you have to work out that means Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto La'olam Ve'ed. Yofi. So that's what you bless, even though it doesn't say that in the Gemara. Right, that's something else. Yivarach Hashem Kvodecha.
That's the answer.
Rashi's telling you that you say Baruch Hashem Kvod Malchuto instead of Amen.
Right.
Yeah?
Yivarach Hashem Kvodecha. It means Baruch Hashem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam. That's how we.
Baruch Hashem Kvodecha. Okay. Nachon.
Onim.
Onim, they answer instead. Nachon, instead of Amen, instead of Amen. V'hamavarech omer, and the one who's making the bracha says Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. Right. So when he's making the bracha, that's what he says just before the conclusion. So if you're saying the Shemoneh Esrei in the Beit HaMikdash, and you're the Shlech Tzibur, and you were doing Micha, so you would say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam yad ha'olam konein hadat kilu, or whatever brocking was, and then finished it, right? And then everyone else would answer Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto La'olam Ve'ed. So the Chazarat HaShatz would take a little bit longer than it does, because you've got the extra bits to add it. Okay, what's the Rashi Kedusa says? Mefaresh the Tosefta. It's explained in the Tosefta, right, which are the additional writers that they add on to the Masechtot. Shetiknu min ha'olam v'yad olam. So it's explained over there in the Tosefta that they made the decree of min ha'olam v'yad olam la'odia, to inform you, she'ein ha'olam hazeh lifnei ha'olam haba. Klum. She'ein ha'olam hazeh lifnei ha'olam haba. Klum. That this world is nothing compared to the next world. It's not so clear to me how that's implicit in the phrase min ha'olam v'yad olam. They taught min ha'olam v'yad olam in order to tell you that this world is nothing compared to the next world. I don't see how you learn that in the words min ha'olam v'yad olam. Yeah, he just explains Ella.
Yeah, it's a closed door.
So he's explaining that this world is nothing.
Us into Olam.
Min Haolam. Viat Olam.
You're just going through. A part of the path to Olam.
Yafeh. This is just a corridor.
Yeah.
Min Haolam.
But that's
the main. Okay, Yafeh.
So the translation is the proper translation.
Of what?
Closed door.
Corridor.
Corridor.
Yeah. Good morning, Rav Yosef.
Good morning. So in a way, it's like the analogy of a narrow bridge.
Okay, could be. Like it. Nice. Narrow bridge too. Yeah, let's bring in some Rav Nachman. Ella prosdor lifnei hatraklin. Rather, it's like a corridor before the banquet hall, no? Something like that. Banquet hall, traklin. Right? Like the pseudo hall yesterday.
Oh, like
Yosef, we missed you.
A wedding hall. I missed you guys, and I missed Yeshiva.
How was your
next morning? Year.
That was wonderful.
Next year is good. You could be like me. We could do two.
I did 2 days.
You did 2 days, why?
Yeah.
Where you went to Yisha?
Yeah, I went to Yisha yesterday. The day before, then my other brother on Beit Shemesh.
See what? Got family now, it's like.
Well, I dominated the hotel yesterday.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
I was there too. What time were you there? I was there in the morning.
I got there around 7.
AM? In the morning or evening?
In the morning.
Ah, until when?
Like 8.
Okay, I'd left. I was there about 10. Tov. There was lots of bar mitzvahs. Lots of bar mitzvahs yesterday. I mean, I don't know if they regularly have, but this was. There's a little room at the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was when the kotel's packed, right? So there's a little room at the back where all the Aronei HaKodesh are, right? And sometimes, I went there yesterday, it was empty, there was like one guy there. So I sat there doing his bullet, and they come in to get Sifrei Torah for like bar mitzvahs and stuff. So anyway, so I had like 4 or 5 processions with the cameras and the video. And anyway, so one of the, and it was quite nice actually, because one of the guys was coming in and he was like explaining to them, explaining to the family that you're in this room. This room is the most Sifrei Torah in the whole world in one place. There's like 100 Sifrei Torah in this room all around you right now. And I'm like, shh, holy. Right? And he says, and what we're going to do, we're going to give it to the Saba, and then he's going to pass it to the Abba, and then the Abba's going to pass it to the son. And this is, shows that the Torah's passed down from generations, and you're going to pass it to your son, but that's a shame, you're going to get married. And it gets a very nice Russian.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
they have
tracking devices on every one of
those
Sifrei Torahs now.
Oh, yeah? Because they're all open, all the sort of were open, everyone, because they're all also coming in to take Megillat Esther. So they had loads of them in the drawers as well.
No
one just walking in.
So they put on GPS trackers just, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I came in right when.
There's a question whether you let it, if it's allowed to be on there on this Torah during Shabbos, if you want to use the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. And technically, you're moving around a piece of GPS equipment.
Well, it'd be like the cloth over the Torah.
Right.
I mean, because those things are so small, it's like an you know, the silver that they put on top.
Right.
What I noticed is that, you know, like when I was leaving, all the tourists were coming in. All the tourists, and it's just like Bollywood.
Some guy was saying also that one of them was saying that the difference between the Sephardi and the Ashkenazi Torahs, right? You know, Sephardi's the big tongue. Right, he said the reason for the difference is that that the Ashkenazi made their Torah so that they could take it away easily, because they were always on the run, always on the move. Right, but the Sephardis were staying in one put, and they weren't going anywhere. Right, they were just sat there. So that's why they made the difference. That's why.
Where did you hear that from?
From one of the guys who came in on this bar mitzvah, you know, giving his drushes.
I heard that, just like the mezuzah.
Yeah.
You look at the Sephardi mezuzah, it stands.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
supposed to put it upright on their door.
And they don't slant?
They don't slant.
Oh, no.
And we slant,
yeah.
Not because we're supposed to slant, but because there are my holes to lay it down. It should be like this. Ashkenazi hole to be like this, and same with the Sefer Torah, same with.
Oh.
But we compromised because we had faith in our Yosef Torah. So we put it on a slant to compromise between them. We're actually doing half Sephardi and half Ashkenazi now.
Sephard.
Right. So it's also inside its meaning, whereas the old Ashkenazi Minhag is the later one, which is why they lay on the Bimah.
Right.
Now they lay on the Bimah too. So it's never actually flat.
Good morning.
The Sephardi says it's our stance. That's the Shita, the Mezuzah, that's the Shita of that. And it might be also the stone prints of the scroll. How they lay on the scrolls as well.
And that's why they sit, right? When they sit. We stand. They sit for Kaddish and everything. And so, it's all connected. So.
You sit in the first part and then stand by the Shorosh.
That is?
Yeah. You sit when you put on the hand.
Yeah.
It's from the Arizal. And then you stand and you put on the Shorosh. You might then not be able to say a bracha on the Shorosh. Like we say Bok Shem right afterwards. So we're not actually making a bracha. Also, a thing that we can't keep the draft.
Okay. Yeah, fair. Okay.
I'm recording, so thank you.
Tov. Very good. Tov. So, where do we get to? Oh, we're in the Rashi. Right? So it's like a corridor. This world's like a corridor to the banquet hall, the Suda hall. Klomar, yeah, I didn't really understand this next bit. Klomar, henhigu barachotav, that, as if to say that we, I don't know how to translate henhigu here, we act, his brothers, we perform his brothers. In Higu.
It was their practice.
It was practice? We practice? They practice?
Huh?
We practice? They practice?
That's right.
It's talking about us. Because if we read the rest of it, then we'll come back, maybe retranslate in a minute. Then. We practice Brechotav, his brothers, Ba'olam Hazeh, in this world. Kadeliot Regilim, La'olam Haba, in order that we'll be practiced, regular to them. Right? Shekulot Aroch, which is all long. Do you want to translate that back into English, Mary? We practice his brachas in this world. So what does it mean? We practice his brachas in this world.
In this world. So
in order.
Used to them for Olam Haba, which is
all long.
But there's no end. All long.
Infinity.
What does that mean in English? So explain.
This world isn't all long. The only reason we're doing it in this world is to get you to Olam Haba. It would be easy for us then because that's a world that doesn't end.
What's that got to do with practicing brachot now?
Huh?
Why is that got to do with practicing brachot now?
The Rambam said that all the purpose of the mitzvah kuslaritz is only practice for its strong.
Okay,
so
you're fair. Right. But what brachas are we performing in the next world?
It doesn't say we're going to perform them, it says we should be used to
okay.
So not regulating to perform them, because we know we're not doing
anything. Okay. Shekul Amaro.
We've got to be something we're going to be doing
then. You have to be used to that condition.
You've been trying to work out this Rashi, is what I'm going to be doing in the next world.
But also, we're waiting, you know, back in Rashi's time and until recently.
What's Kula Aroch?
We're being reincarnated until the time of Mashiach.
It's all
then
long.
The time of Mashiach, we will.
First of all, he says this world is like a corridor,
right? Which is
a corridor to the banquet hall, which is a hall, and then he says that the Olam Haba Kula Aroch. He changed me, he mixed his metaphors. No?
No, because
a bankroll is a bankroll.
What I'm saying is,
deal with everything as it comes along. Right now, we're in a long hallway. All right.
Then we get a bankroll. And okay, and then we need to learn the brachot in order that we're used to them in the world to come.
Right.
Because Shekula Aroch.
And what I was saying is that.
Not for this time.
To say the brachot, what's the question here? The question here is why we're saying Borshen Kavum Achuz Olam Ve'ed Amin Olam Ve'ad Olam.
What?
Rashi's explaining why we're saying in the temple we said we didn't answer Amen, and instead we answered Borshen Kavum Achuz Olam Ve'ed, and they also changed the ending of the bracha that the person who's making the bracha would say, would add in the words Min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. And in order to explain that, he brings a Tosefta which says that this was done in order to let people know that this world is nothing compared to the next world, like a corridor before the banquet hall, And that's to say that we perform the brachot in this world in order to be used to them in the world to come, which is all long. What's the difficulty?
Okay.
Well,
sounds good. I like
that. It's beautiful,
right?
Yeah.
And,
I have no chat about what it means.
First, it deals with the long hallway that we're in right now.
It's nice. It's very nice structure to be, but what's it going to be here? What's it going to do with the fact that we say, we don't say Amen in the temple, we say Boshan Kulamo Jol Amen?
And that's what he's using to explain that.
Yeah.
This metaphor.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was saying, you know, we're leaving something out, that we're constantly being reincarnated and we're waiting for Mashiach. Once Mashiach gets here and the base of Mikdash gets here,
maybe unless you say that the why the difference in the Beit HaMikdash? Because the Beit HaMikdash represents Olam Haba, and the rest outside Beit HaMikdash is Olam Hazeh. That's already, when you're in the Beit HaMikdash, the miracles, there's Hashem, Shechinah there, everything, that's Olam Haba. So in Olam Haba, we're saying this Min Olam V'Adam, this extended bracha. Don't know, I'm
talking. It all started with Stukim.
Right.
It all started with Stukim. We said that there's only an Olam Hazeh.
Yeah.
So we're adding a whole idea that whatever we're doing now is not only for this world, but it's also for the next one.
What does that have to do with that? I hear your question.
So you're adding Meha Olam, Meha Olam.
Right.
Okay, and you're saying Roshek Omahuto, not only Amen, but Le Olam Ba'ed, also Olam Ba.
Olam Ba'ed, forever and ever.
It's not just for now.
Okay, the name will be blessed forever and ever. Maybe. Affair, which is the long haul.
Yeah. HAUL, long haul. The short the long haul.
Okay, Tov.
That's right.
Continue with Hashem.
Well, you know, haul and haul both have a similar meaning. They both have a similar meaning. Namely, you're walking down the long haul.
Right.
With the ball.
Only seven people could see his face. So that's actually taken, or you could say Hamala was talking about Hashem. The whole idea is taken from our king, from Hashem. That there's Sheva Rav and whatever they are.
Right.
I get to the cost of the Amra. The Sheva Rav, seven shepherds. And each one is represented by one of the letters of Rosh Hashanah. Seven letters. And what's the significance of those seven letters?
Six.
Rosh Hashanah. Six. So maybe it's Shisha right now. Sorry. Shisha right now. In Megillah it says Sheva and Shisha. So something, and the significance of those six letters is that each one is the only one, are the only letters you'll ever find before the word Yud Kei Vav in the Torah. You'll say, right. So you say, you'll have B'Hashem for Baruch, Shem, you'll have Shashem, and so on and so forth. For each letter is the only letters you'll ever find preceding the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Roy Pnei HaMelech. Pnei HaMelech is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's very, nothing goes into it. Rabbi Maimon talked about it in the Shem. I wonder if there's a connection. There must be.
Okay.